Today's last lecture will be about computerized microscopy-based system and technology, which actually can be considered as a breakthrough methodology over last years and important step towards personalized medical care. This technology was developed in our institute and was successfully used in many research groups of Theresia Mai and Isabella Ehlinger. Here I listed some scientific main topics or main keywords of the group of Therese and my own. And as you can actually see, that some of the keywords were already mentioned today by the previous speakers. And at the first glance, you may say, okay, these are totally different research areas. But in reality, we do have very strong overlapping points. Among those are, of course, membrane transporters, which were many times mentioned today, drug transporters or sphingolipid lipid transporters, with all the difficulties behind how to specifically stain these complex molecules with the multiple transmembrane spanning domains. The next common shared point with Therese is definitely HCFBM. And no doubt you know what this abbreviation stands for. Certainly, yes. So this is for highly creative fishes born in March. So the next common point is the microscopy-based technology which I mentioned above, which called TissueFox system for automated cell detection within complex disease tissues, including malignant tissues, and immunological imprint in solid tumors. And this technique allowed us and actually gives us a great opportunity to quantify immunological imprint locally in tumor tissue and then align these parameters with the clinical outcome and thus use this as a prognostic or predictive marker of disease development. Let me guide through you this system. So it starts as a first step. This is immunohistochemical or immunofluorescent staining of the large-scale patient specimens. And then these specimens goes for acquisition with the microscopy-based TissueFox system, where 8 slides, one by one, can be scanned automatically without a focusing function, without actually help or interference from the technical expert. The third step is the software-based analysis, and here we start from the dissecting the complex tumor tissue to the so-called regions of interest and defining this region of interest when the tumor samples then can be separated to tumor itself, to stroma, moreover, more specifically, peritumoral or the fibrotic tissues, adipose tissues, immune cell aggregates. Why this is important and why this is an advantage to have that within our algorithm? Let me illustrate that complexity using a few examples of the patient stained material. And the ideal specimen looks like that, where you see just the tumor islands. And this specimen, after the staining, can go directly straightforward for quantitative analysis. However, in reality, the tumor samples for majority of patients are much more complex. And then the analysis of different areas of the tumor is much more complicated. So the next level of complexity comes when we want to analyze the immune cells within the tumor. And then this complexity is based on the patient-specific organization pattern of immune cells. Some patients have a very single cells within the tumor or stroma, and some patients have a very special immune cell aggregates, including the ectopic follicular structures, and I will define these structures in a couple of minutes more precisely. So then the next step is design of profile for quantitative analysis of individual markers, which gave us which gives an opportunity to calculate and analyze only specifically stained cells among the all cells within the complex tissue. And then these data are exported as so-called variable, staining-derived variable, and then it can be aligned with the clinical parameters, survival parameters for each individual patient, and then create a novel biomarkers. So taking into account such complexity and cancer type attributed and patient orientated heterogeneity, in the last few years, even a new terminology was invented in the field of tumor immunology. And these are such as immune landscape, immune contexture, immunome and immunoscore, and immunological imprint. This is the term which was introduced by us very recently, which actually inline quantitative assessment of local immune response with the complexity of tumor anatomy. When we are talking about the immune cells and contribution to the tumor development or tumor progression, then as you know, the main focus historically is given to the tumor-associated macrophages or Tregs as a tumor-promoting cells or cytotoxic T lymphocytes as anti-tumor players. However, the role of B cells is much less understood and much less highlighted at the moment. When we are talking about B cells in tumor tissue, we have to consider that this is multifactorial players, and they may have a pro and anti-tumoral response. And this probably depends on the tumor type where these cells are infiltrated in. And of course, we are talking about machinery for generation of immunoglobulins. This is one of the main functions of B cells. This is also B cell receptor mediated tumor specific antigen presentation. So these are antigen presenting cells, and then they help to T cell mediated response. But what we should not forget that these are also cells which secrete enormous amount of active cytokines and chemokines that mediate differentiation and inflammation, and they affect stroma cells, tumor cells, orchestrate other cell types within the tumor. And among those, for instance, IL-10 producing Bregs, which then leads to suppression of T effector cells and support for Tregs. So not only T regulatory cells exist, B regulatory cells exist, and as well, very important. This is also IgM memory B cells, which can provide immediate response upon the challenge with the antigen. B cells with the phagocytic activity were discovered recently, and in some ways they have stronger activity than phagocytes themselves. And relatively new aspects of B cell biology, that B cells organization into the germinal center like ectopic follicular structures can happen at site of chronic inflammation within disease tissues and outside of classical germinal centers in secondary lymphoid organs. And activation-induced cytidine deaminase, or AID, is an ultimate marker of these germinal centers. So we can have a short excursus to GC biology, and here you see tonsils stained for AID, and the germinal centers are clearly visible, these rounded structures, where B cells actually proliferate, differentiate, improved affinity of the antibodies, class switch their antibodies, and then as a result of GC reaction, memory B cells or plasma cells are produced, and then they leave GC home and go to circulation. And as I said, unique molecule AID is the marker of activated B cells, and this is the molecule which drives both somatic hypermutation and class switch recombination events when it targets immunoglobulin genes. And so this small enzyme, which was identified in 1999, completely revolutionized the immunology field because it was clearly shown that this molecule is responsible for diversification of antibody repertoire, as well as other very important central plays central roles in B cell biology. What is, however, less known that in pathophysiology, in pathophysiological conditions, when aberrantly expressed, AID can be expressed not only in B cells, but also in epithelial cells, in tumor cells. And then it targets non-immunoglobulin genes such as oncogenes, tumor suppressor genes, genomic instability genes, or pluripotency. So all those which leads to chromosomal rearrangement, mutations, epigenetic modifications, or cancer-related processes. And as I said, the breakthrough discovery of in B-cell biology field that these GC-like structures can be formed outside of secondary lymphoid organs at chronic inflammatory conditions. And they were, for instance, shown in benign tissues, in synovial tissue of patients with rheumatoid arthritis, and there they produce pathogenic antibodies directly at site of inflammation, or we could show that such structures can be formed in nasal polyps of patients with chronic rhinosinusitis, and then they're responsible for local production of immunoglobulin E. Then, apart from the benign tissues, these structures can be formed and have been reported in tumor tissues, in solid tumors. For instance, in the breast cancer, in non-small cell lung cancer, and they are not only reported there, but their presence were associated with favorable prognosis for the patient. They were also discovered in primary colorectal cancer. And we were interested to study immunological imprint of patients with colorectal cancer metastasis in the liver. So why this is important question? First of all, metastatic colorectal cancer in the liver remains a therapeutic challenge. There is no treatment available. Moreover, there are no clinical markers which can predict or prognose disease development. There are no clue about the biological mechanisms which determines the prognosis of this patient, and there is no, therefore, entry points for novel interventions, therapeutic interventions. And also important point to consider that in this case, we have strong immunology aspect of both liver as hosting tissue of the cancer and primary colorectal cancer as a prototype of tumor where immune cells have been shown to play a strong clinical role and clinical impact. And many thanks to Therese, because she was my mentor in the liver, actually biology, pathobiology, since it's not the organ I was working previously. So the study was designed by few analytical blocks, and we started from staining of the patient's slides with the CD45. This is the molecule which expressed on all subpopulations of immune cells. And then we subdivided to B-cell lineage and monocytes macrophage lineage. For B-cell lineage, we stained naive B-cells, the major population for with the CD20, with AID, to prove that we have activation of B-cells, that we have the switch of immunoglobulins, and with 138 to show that we have really plasma cells present there. 65 patient specimens were stained and analyzed using this microscopy-based system. And an important point to mention here that we were able to define the region of interest for calculation, and this turned to be just region across the border of the metastasis. So at the metastatic border, which is just 0.5, 0.5 millimeter to the direction of tumor or liver. And then these data were analyzed for survival prediction. So here you can see that the TissueFACS-based algorithm allowed us to identify for different markers positively stained cells, and calculations for these two markers are based on the recognition of the nucleus. So each nucleus here is recognized. So the machine knows, the software knows what cell mean, And then various cell types within the specimen, and in case of liver mets, this is very complex. So hepatocytes, colon cells, bile duct epithelial, endothelial, all populations of immune cells were simultaneously recognized, and the positive cells were calculated. What we could see that the B cells are accumulated exactly at the border and in the portal fields, which are very close to the border of the metastasis. So this is the tumor metastatic area, this is the liver, here is the metastatic border. And moreover, that they are assembled to the GC-like structures, those which I showed you previously in the tonsils. And indeed, we could also show that those structures are positive for activation-induced cytidine deaminase. So this is very important point to consider. It means that the production of pro-tumoral or anti-tumor antibodies takes place locally at the border of the metastasis. And here is the typical example of the functionally active GC-like ectopic structure at the metastatic border, which is composed of CD20-positive body, IgM-positive mantle zone, EID-positive core, and we do see plasma cells produced in the close proximity to the follicle. And now, the most important question of the study is there is a link between the patient-specific immunological imprint and the clinical outcome. And the answer is yes. So what we could demonstrate that recurrence-free survival is significantly better in patients with high magnitude of CD20-positive B cells or ectopic follicular structure, meaning as more B cells present, a better survival prognosis for the patient. Moreover, the prognostic power of these two parameters is superior to any clinical parameter. What that means is that finding emphasize anti-tumoral role of B-cell-driven mechanisms and thus indicate a new way of thinking about potential treatment strategies for patients with metastatic colorectal cancer. So, the take-home message as a summary from today, that B cell response is bright and not boring. And the second point, that Hain presented an established strategy provides superior solution for unbiased, standardized quantitative assessment of the patient-specific immunological imprint. At this point, I would like to acknowledge the people who contribute from my group, from clinical oncologists, pathologists, statistical department, and of course, Theresia Salama. And Therese, thank you for being a great colleague. Thank you for being a great collaborative partner. Thank you for being a great mentor. And thank you for being a good friend.